This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This was my identity.
Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist. What most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us. Dentistry is ready for this. Now is really the time.
Welcome to Wellness in Dentistry, where today we're going to talk all about when overachievers stop achieving. I'm joined by my dear friend and co-host, Dr. Kyle Stanley, who is a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher. And I'm Dr. Martin Mendelson, your other host, who is a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, and author of my first book, One Move Makes All the Difference, that's available where other books are sold. And together, we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry. And if you're unfamiliar with us, we invite you to check out our respective links, websites, and course offerings on our combined website of wellnessindentistry.com. So, Kyle, hello, first of all.
Hello.
What does this mean when overachievers stop achieving? What are we talking about today?
Well, for me, it was about 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been an overachiever my whole life, like yep. many dentists, meaning I'm good at things that I try.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I try new things and I tend to be, let's say, better than 75% of people at it.
Mm-hmm.
I did pretty well in school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to be in order to get into to dental
yeah.
school. I did okay in dental school too. And so I kind of was kicking ass, right? My whole life, I was kind of doing well. And then it got to the point where these achievements were stacking up. So I had gone to college, then I went to dental school, then I went to residency, then I was an associate, then I was a practice owner, then I was a speaker, and like achievement after achievement was stacking up, and I felt very good about myself.
Yeah.
But then it got to the point where I wasn't achieving how I thought I would be.
Mm.
So, for example, I started having clinical complications. I was being sued or threatened to be sued by a patient. I was being sued by a assistant.
Mm-hmm.
My physical health was in a poor place.
Mm-hmm.
My mental health was in a poor place. And what's crazy about me as an overachiever is I know there's a lot of overachievers that have a lot of imposter syndrome. And they
yeah.
don't believe in themselves. That's not me. I'm
yeah.
my biggest fan. I believe in myself all the time. You're the best, Kyle. Keep going. And so there was this juxtaposition where I still believed in myself, but the achievements weren't happening anymore.
It was almost as if the facts didn't support the thought.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
And when I've explained this idea of the overachiever that stops achieving,
mm-hmm.
I have so many dentists that have told me, and I do this in my Lightside Academy, is why I really resonated with that overachiever talk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what's funny is some people don't realize they're overachievers until they go through burnout,
yeah.
have self-reflection,
yeah.
and then look back and go, oh, that's why I took it so hard.
Fair. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people will have quote-unquote failures or complications in their life, but they've had a bunch of those their whole life.
Yeah, true.
And so it's almost like they're trained better than mm-hmm. us overachievers
mm-hmm.
because we don't fail a lot.
Yeah. It's interesting you talk about that, because where my mind went when you said that was, dealing with and overcoming hardships because it's like been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. Or as
Yeah.
I like to say, you've survived 100% of your worst days,
Yeah.
which is so important of a concept to me. It's literally a chapter title in my book. And so I think that's very telling because if you think about it, it's you have this level of expectation that things are going to go well, and then when they don't go well, it becomes very jarring, or the other way around, frankly, because we all seem to know those people that clouds tend to follow them, if you will, and then you wonder what, why is that? But that's another topic for another show. But
Well, I'm interested about that topic, actually.
yeah. What
Can you
about?
expand on that? Like, clouds follow certain people? Because I know people like that.
It seems like certain people just always have, shit follow them. You know, what's the title of that book by those two female podcasters? Life's a Pile of Shit Sandwiches. And so, it's very unfortunate for some, and yet it makes you wonder sometimes how much of that are they potentially bringing on themselves.
Well, there's one person that I'm thinking of who's close to me, and this person tends to look negatively most of his life, and oftentimes feels like a victim many times. Nothing goes right for this person, you know, he's, an investment doesn't work out, a business doesn't work out, someone screws him over. There's always something, and I just wonder how much of that is controllable by him.
Well, interesting. If you look at the research, one of my favorite pieces, because it speaks all to mindset, is Barbara Fredrickson's Broaden and Build Theory. And so basically, long story short, what she says is that when you're thinking positively, your brain broadens to consider other factors, facts, options, opportunities. So basically think about it as, everybody's seen one of those cones that a dog or cat has after they get surgery. So that's the visualization I have in my head of her theory, which is when you're in a negatively primed space, you're wearing the cone of shame. Yet when you're in a positively primed space, you can see outside of the cone. I mean, shoot, there's even studies that have been conducted that have determined our peripheral vision, our literal vision, is blinded when we're in a negatively primed state. So the fact that a person gets hit by another auto in an accident or has a health challenge, et cetera, obviously those are majoritively out of their control. However, the opportunity of how to dig out of it, how to see things differently, how to move forward does have everything to do with how you're thinking about things, which is ironic, right?
I mean, that's such a crazy theory, and it's such a great dualism thought of body connected to the mind and mind connected to the body. And especially for we dentists that are scientists, like, oh yeah, well, being positive is kind of cool, but like, how is that going to affect me on the day-to-day? It literally makes your eyesight better, right? It makes your peripheral vision better. It allows you to consider other factors. So let's say you're a business owner or you're a spouse or you're whatever you are, you will perform better.
Well, another chapter of my book is titled Bribe Your Inner Voice with Candy. And it talks about the study from Estrada, which worked with physicians to see how a positively primed brain could be impacted against anchoring. Anchoring is when you get anchored to a differential diagnosis, in this case, regardless of what other clinical data comes to your knowledge. And so what they did was they worked with these physicians. They had to read medical information and come to a diagnosis, and there was no time limit, there were time. And so there was a neutral group, there was a control group, and then there was a happy group. And you can read my book and for more of a detailed explanation of this, but here's the crazy part. The doctors that were primed to be positive exhibited 2.5 times less anchoring based on the data presented, came to a diagnosis 20% of the way through the material, and twice as fast as the other two groups. And the way they were primed to be positive was with candy. Not the actual eating of candy ahead of time, which you could argue would mess with blood sugar. No, just the promise of, here, doctor, here's a packet of candy. You can eat this when you're done. So this is a very important inflection point in my teachings, in my book, in my lectures, because you and I both are not sitting here saying you have to walk around with a smile on your face, rosy glasses, good vibes only. No. The science is clear. Short bursts of positivity from a thought process perspective do absolutely impact brain function, cognition, visualization, interpretation, the light, the list goes on and on.
Amazing. So what is your thought on this idea of you have this overachiever identity, whether you know it or not, and then maybe it's burnout, maybe it's depression, maybe it's situational. All of a sudden, you're not achieving anymore. And you're so used to achieving.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And that's what's been keeping you going forward and pushing you through and allowing you to wake up in the morning. But now that's not happening anymore. What do these dental professionals do?
I think it has a lot to do with expectations, frankly.
Or yourself, or how you
Yeah, well, or for
expand on
yourself
that.
and how you see the world. So, I'll give you two examples from dentist clients. One of which I worked with a couple years ago. Really, I know this from the grapevine, excellent clinician, excellent restorative dentist, and an excellent business person. This person was doing over 2 million by themselves and doing really good dentistry. And this person and I were talking about how he would jump to catastrophe, one of my concepts, when he was in there and talking to a patient and they didn't accept his proposed treatment. And I looked at him and I said, "Well, what are your thoughts?" And all the imposter syndrome came in, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, "How true is it that you're in the top single-digit percentage of dentists in the country, if not the world?" "Well, yeah, I guess that's true." And I said, "How is the minority saying no a reflectant on you or the majority that said yes?" And he just looked at me and goes, "Oh my gosh, I never thought of it that way before." I'll give you three total examples. Another client in practice over 20 years, also excellent clinician, who would get very frustrated and stressed out when he was, as we say, in a tooth and it wasn't going the way he planned. And he would say to himself, "Shouldn't this be easier?" And my response was, "Should it? Who made up that rule?" Expectation again. Last but not least, this happened this week. I was talking to another dentist who was talking about, "I just want a day when somebody doesn't come to me with a broken instrument or have to deal with something else." And I looked at him and I said, "Fair, that's stressful, but what about that's a problem?" And so we had a whole conversation around there was an expectation that if someone comes to me, then it's bad. Versus if someone comes to me, it just is. And there's a difference between stimulus and response. There's a space. How many times do I have to say that? So, how do those examples resonate with you, Kyle? What do you think?
A lot of them. I can't remember if it was the first one or the second one made me think that when I was going through this time when I stopped achieving, How true was it that I stopped achieving, or was I just recognizing the few
Oh, I like that.
hardships?
Yeah, I like
I mean, I'm
that.
having this kind of full circle moment as we're talking about this. Because I've told that story before about I'm an overachiever, and then I get to this point where I'm not achieving. And I bet for me, it was just looking towards the negative more. You know, I was going through hard things, of course. Threatened to be sued, you know, being sued, like that is stressful for anybody. But was it just, let's say, the complications that were coincidental with that specific time that made me think all of a sudden I'm not achieving? Because like you've said, how it wasn't like every case went bad. Not every patient wanted to sue me. Not every assistant wanted to sue me.
You know, it's interesting because it's you know, if you think back and you know, if I heard what you said correctly, you hadn't have a great level of self-confidence, which is amazing. And so how much is it, again, back to expectation where you're like, why is this happening? This shouldn't happen. But again, that's an expectation. Fair?
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
So I
So
remembered what
maybe there is a negative aspect of believing in yourself so much that you think that nothing bad will ever happen.
Well, what I think I would say is it's all how you couch it. So having confidence in your skills is important, and learning your skills is important. I remember I think it's brilliant. Dr. Spear always says, with competence comes confidence. And I do believe that. And but I think we need to couch it carefully. Relative to, okay, I have confidence. Oh, so let me rephrase. It's the concept of two things can be true at the same time. So I have confidence in my skills, and this didn't go according to plan. It's okay to be mad about it. Remember, we're not saying we're going to walk around with rose-colored glasses all the time. That's toxic. We're going to allow the emotions to flow through and flow past us. We're not ignoring them. But then we're going to say, what is this situation teaching me? What can I learn from it? If we're directly involved in terms of our actions, what can I do differently next time to preclude this from happening again? So it's like Barbara Fredrickson's fix for, sorry, excuse me, Carol Dweck's mindset book, Fixed versus Growth. It's not that I'm a failure as a dentist, it's that I failed in this situation. What can I do differently next time to avert that is the idea.
And that's exactly the point that I've gotten to on my personal growth journey, is how much I've learned from this, especially when you talk about how to prevent a lot of this from happening. And now, because I'm so thankful that I went through this, because now I get to help others not go through it or prevent it from the beginning, like with my complication compliance method, is teaching people how to not have these situations where, yes, something goes wrong clinically. The patient wants their money back. They want you to pay for it. Everybody's pissed off. Everybody's disappointed. And that is definitely all about setting expectations too.
Yeah, totally.
It's one of my three pillars is expectations, but it's in every form. It's setting expectations with yourself, setting expectations with others, communicating that.
And sitting in a negative space is not going to allow you to be broadened to think of opportunities. And so I have a brilliant example that I haven't even told you this story yet. And I almost can't think of a better example except for the fact that it's not technically clinical. So we're recording this episode a while before it debuts, and I just came back from London. And we had a wonderful week in London. We were staying right off the Elizabeth line between central London and Heathrow. And for what I'm a pretty chill traveler, but the one thing that was like freaking me out a little bit is if the Elizabeth line goes down, how are we going to get there? Blah, blah, blah. So we had luggage, and the day before we went through the station on the lifts, aka elevators, to make sure we knew the way. Okay, fine. That morning, not even 24 hours later, one of the lifts is broken. so we can't use the lift with our luggage. And I looked at Michael and I go, oh crap, now we're gonna have to go out and we're gonna have to go to the other entrance to the subway, blah, 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 underground. He goes, well, just go down the escalator with our suitcases. I'm like, oh my God, like what? I didn't even think about that because I got so stuck in, oh my gosh, what are we gonna do? How are we gonna get there? That a simple alternative of just going down an escalator with a suitcase didn't even occur to me. So if that's not an example, I don't know what is.
I mean, that is the tunnel vision that happens. And to explain it from a more evolutionary biology standpoint, how I've been explained to this is when you're at night in a jungle and you hear rustling in the bushes next to you, and it could be a tiger, all you are focused on is that tiger. You are tunnel vision. You don't know what's happening around you, behind you. You are just like, what is that tiger over there? And we don't have that same experience today. But for you, the tiger was the
The
elevator
lift.
not working. And
And
so it literally it disallowed you to have a very simple thought, which is, oh, well, let's just take the escalator down.
We've all had this experience. Think about how many times, listeners, that you've had a difficult patient, and after the interaction, maybe an hour later or a day later, or a month later, you say, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I say that? Why didn't it occur to me? Or with your team or with your spouse or with your family, we do it all the time and we don't even realize it. And yet there's a physiologic, biologic reason for
It's funny. This episode's been really good for me, actually. I'm kind of
it.
self-reflecting.
Sure.
And this idea of overachievers stopping to achieve, I guess now it's a question of, are we actually stopping to achieve? Or is this a perceived stopping to achieve?
Tell me more. What do you mean?
Well, like I talked about, I was being sued. I started to have more complications clinically. My health is in a poor place. Is that just what I focused on at that time?
Probably. Probably. I mean, if you read my friend Sean Swarner's book, who I talk about in my book, his first book is called True North. He actually has a new book out. And I'll get you a title in a second because it just totally flew out of my head. But here's a guy that fought two independent cancers before he was 18 years of age. And he talks about in his first book that he made a conscious decision to not focus on cancer and that he was going to get better. And so his new book is called Being Unstoppable. And I can't wait to read it because it's Being Unstoppable, Conquering Your Everest. Which is very interesting because as I talk about my book, one of my pivotal interactions with him when I first met him was he handed me his first book and he basically looked at me and said, you can do whatever you want to do. He goes, we all have our own Everest to climb.
I'll
And
never forget that when you first told me that too. And I think that's a very nice way of not judging others
Oh yeah,
as well.
100%.
Because I know for me, I used to be a very judgy Judy. It was like, oh, well, gosh, they're having a hard time. They just can't handle it. Or like judging other dentists clinically. You know, a patient comes into your practice and the margin's not perfect or the color isn't right. And you kind of go, oh my gosh, can't believe that they let you leave like this. But then when that happened to me, I would hope that the other dentist would have a little more grace for me. And that idea of everybody has their own Everest to climb is, I think it's very deep.
It's very deep, and I also think it speaks to him as a human because he's just such a genuine, caring human being. And if you think about it, he has been subsequently, to a large extent, if you want to talk about it in plain terms, been put up on a pedestal. I mean, he's been voted one of the most inspirational people in history. And yet he truly believes that it's like, no. Don't thank me or don't tell me I'm an inspiration for you. We all have our own Everest to climb, and yours can be or is just as difficult as what mine was because it's yours. I'm
Right.
paraphrasing what he said, but that's the idea of a lot of his messaging, and it's very profound.
So what do you think are some of these practical tools that we can give people when they're getting into this place where we're like, yeah, I'm an overachiever, I'm a dentist, I did all this stuff, but now I feel like kind of a loser. You know,
I
I'm
think
having a hard
it's
time going to work. My business is suffering, my marriage is suffering, I'm not home with my kids, my health is in a poor place.
I think it's multifaceted. So let's talk about proactive versus reactive. How about that? So, and by the way, this is what I remember that you asked me earlier and I couldn't remember. In terms of proactive, everybody hears SMART goals before: specific, measurable, attainable, relatable, timely. So in my coach training, they used SMART goals, but they added to it. And basically, we called it AIM SMART. And basically, for lack of a better way to put it, forget about the AIM acronym. The idea is this: if your specific goal is to go to the gym on a regular basis, the specific goal of that might be go 5 days a week. That's the ultimate, that's the max. The middle of the road might be 3 days a week. And the minimum would be, if I just go 2 days a week, that's enough. And I'm not going to beat myself up. So, depending on the goal, this AIM SMART idea can be very applicable because we are overachievers and so we may be making tons of progress, but because we didn't hit the goal that was, in some cases, a little overzealous anyway, we then beat ourselves up. So if we can truly embrace this AIM SMART idea of minimal, middle, and max, mid, middle, max, sorry, min, middle, max, then it can really be of help in a proactive perspective. So that's proactive. Thoughts, questions? I want to make sure I was clear. What do you think?
No, I was definitely seeing myself in that. That I was actually thinking of my gym activity. It's very similar to what you said, in that I do have what I would like to be doing, what I can probably do most times, and sometimes what my minimum is. Like for right now, I didn't tell you, but I have a little pinched nerve in my neck.
Ugh.
It was really bad on Saturday and Sunday. Today we're recording this on Tuesday, and it's gotten a lot better. I was able to go to jiu-jitsu today,
Oh, good.
but I don't know if it's ready to be doing heavy lifting. That's usually what I do in the gym is lifting weights. So I haven't gone in 5 days, which is a lot for me. I usually try to go at least 3 days a week for lifting and twice a week for jiu-jitsu. So I did jiu-jitsu today, so I'm deciding should I try to go tonight because I'm traveling tomorrow. So that'll be another 2 days when I'm not doing it. Or is it good enough because I went to jiu-jitsu today, so I did get exercise today, but I didn't do my weight training. So I think like that. I definitely think like that to where I try to set goals. I try to set high goals, but I try to set attainable high goals.
Absolutely. No, I think that's great.
So you talked about proactive versus,
Reactive.
no, proactive versus reactive,
Yeah. So
but you
the
used it in the same example, right?
no. So the reactive
Okay, tell me
is
reactive.
you're in a situation, it didn't go well, and now you're upset. So what I meant was proactive in terms of how you're looking at setting and achieving goals, reactive in terms of how you're looking at, let's say, a situation, particularly relative to a day in the practice or a patient's case, et cetera. So, it's a universal anecdote question I would ask myself first, because if you're sitting there going, I'm a crappy dentist, I'm a failure, blah, 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 how true is that? Right? Well, it's not 100% true. And then the idea is to sit down, ideally with a piece of paper or your phone, and write down all the things that went well for that case, went well in that day, went well in that scenario or situation, or even that you're thankful for or grateful for in your life, to get your brain to recognize, identify, and accept that it's not just a life of shit sandwiches, as the book title goes, but it's actually a mix of the good, the bad. As the 70s sitcom said, you take the good, you take the bad, you take it all, and there you have the facts of life. So couldn't help myself. So the reactive methodology is very simple. It's a piece of paper, line down the middle, good on the left, bad on the right, pro, con, good, whatever you want to call it. And just force yourself to identify the things. Now, the one caveat I'm going to give you is do not sit in judgment of the depth or value of the good versus bad stuff. So if you're concerned that this case didn't go well, for an example, but I know you hate packing court, so that came to my mind. But
Yes, I did.
you had great isolation, you had great retraction, and your margins were killer.
Yeah.
And you sit there and you go, yeah, but who cares? Because in the end, it sucked. Well, no. It took skill to do that. So don't sit in judgment of these individual things, because all you're really doing is you're just trying to sabotage yourself twice.
Yeah.
Like, stop it.
Now, do you think someone who is not primed correctly or have a hard time finding the positives?
Yes, 100%. And
So should they give themselves candy?
so I think this is a really good point to say something that's incredibly important. These methodologies, these ideas, these tools are great, and they're not a substitute for mental health providers.
Yeah.
And if you are finding yourself ruminating, not being able to concentrate, not being able to sleep, focusing on these negative things all the time, and you just can't bring yourself out of it, the universe is telling you to seek other methodologies of care. And so what I would say is, as a huge proponent and believer in therapy, that we do both. We
Yeah.
engage with our mental health providers. They are just angels in plain clothes. And we utilize these methodologies and tools at the same time, because it's not for me, you, or anybody experiencing it to say for sure from a diagnostic perspective, do I need it or not? That's for them to tell us.
True.
And so if you're having a hard time, pick up the phone or the keyboard and find somebody to help you, period.
It goes back to that idea of burnout doesn't mean you're weak, it means you've been strong for too long.
Yeah,
Or
fair.
it's you don't have mental illness because you have burnout. If
Right.
anything, you have mental health
Right.
because it's a natural reaction to
Yeah.
your body and your mind having gone through so much.
Yeah,
It's
totally.
really your body telling your brain many times, like, hey, it's time that we kind of slow down here, or we take a different approach, or we see what's happening.
Yes.
I see my burnout now as a good thing. I'm so happy I went through it
Yeah.
because of what it's allowed me to completely change my life.
Well, you just expressed what Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar talks about emotional whole being. So it's not about negating negative emotions, it's about letting them flow through and flow past us.
Yeah.
And so what I teach is the idea around a three-step process that starts with a phrase everybody's heard, which is everything happens for a reason, or everything's meant to happen, or everything's gonna happen, however you wanna call it. That's step one. Step two is this sucks. And I'm gonna deal with it, and however I deal with it, go for a run, eat a pint of ice cream, whatever it is for you. And then the third step is, what did this teach me? And you're in step three. You've been in step three for a
Yeah.
long time. What was the opportunity here? What did it teach me? How can I do differently next time? Those kind of things.
That phrase, everything happens for a reason, is that something that I, because I know you, I've heard you say you're in the exact stage you should be in.
Yeah.
Is that the same thought?
Well, it is. And even in the darkest of days, let's go back to my friend Sean, who had cancer multiple times. You ain't changing that. Now are you? And so How are you going to find the light in the darkness? And we always have a choice. And the research on this is actually quite fascinating relative to cancer survivors and those that literally thrived versus those that had a really difficult time. And it all ends up being mindset, skills, and tools, which doesn't take away from the gravity of a cancer diagnosis at all. It's just the way these people dealt with it, because once you're diagnosed, I mean, what are you going to do? It is what it is. So yeah, it is all
Because
true.
I think a lot of listeners and they have a hard time with that.
I
Especially
did
when you talk
too.
about very big things like you're talking about cancer, a child dying. I mean, you know, the worst of the worst. Oh, well, it all happens for a reason. Is I think really hard for people to hear.
So let's modify that then. What if we said it happened because it happened? And honestly, well, as I've said several times already, my apologies for being redundant, you can't change it. So you do have a choice how you engage with it.
Yeah, and I like how you went through that too, which was, yes, this happened. Yes, it sucks. What can I learn from this? Now, I don't want people to think that the yes, it sucks is just you saying, oh yeah, this sucks, and now I'm just gonna go learn. No.
And what you and I have talked about,
With time
sorry.
and with skills, that portion of this journey can shrink, but I don't want you guys to think that it's just, oh yeah, that happened. Oh yeah, this sucks. Okay, now I'm just gonna do all this positive stuff, right? What
No.
were you gonna
And
say?
step two is wholly contingent on the depth and gravity of the challenge. So if it's somebody yelled at you at Walmart out of the blue and you were upset about it, that might last an hour. If it's your spouse, that might last a couple of days. If it's a horrible diagnosis or a death or whatever, that's going to last a lot longer. However, that still doesn't negate the totality of the process.
I remember hearing, I can't remember if I sent this to you. I was listening to a podcast, and it was one of the leading researchers of depression. And he was talking about how I think in the medical journals, I think the example that he gave was actually losing a child. If you have depression for more than 10 days, it was perceived as being a problem, which is
Interesting.
like insane,
Yeah,
right?
that scene, yeah.
And I just remember thinking, and he was saying like, this is ridiculous. You know, like this is a human thing that we have to go through, and you every day gets better. You know, one move makes all the difference, and every second can get better. There's some things that time can only change.
Well, and grief in particular, and I'm certainly no expert.
Me neither.
What I do know, however, is grief is a continuum, and
Yes.
grief is different for everyone.
That's right.
We talked about this before. I went on a river rafting trip in July that was a life-changing experience, and there was a woman on there that lost her husband pretty young,
Oh,
and
wow.
she was very open about her own journey. And some days are great, and some days just you don't want to get out of bed, and all of that's okay. And you were talking about judgment earlier about how people deal with certain things. I mean, when it comes to grief and the loss of a loved one, that's all over the map. Like everybody does it in their own timeline, and that's okay. So.
Well, let's bring this one into land. I've definitely learned a lot on this episode. I mean, I feel like I've been in a therapy session with Martin, learning a lot in this episode because I really started with my experience on this. And I think my big takeaway is when I look back on it now with 2020 vision, maybe I wasn't underachieving as much as I thought I was. I think it was more of a priming. It was lack of self-awareness. It was physical being not being great. For example, I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't eating well, I wasn't drinking water enough so that I could show up in my best self and have the best self-awareness. And so it was kind of this perfect storm of all of those. But now when I look back at it, I was still achieving. But now when I look back at it, I'm not happy about the achievements that have come since then. I'm happy about the journey.
Yes,
And the time I
100%.
put in, the effort I put in, the money I put in, the people I've been able to help in the process, friends, lifelong friends that I've made like you. And that's what I'm happy about. What are your final thoughts?
I really truly think it all boils down to expectations. And when we get caught in that loop of, this really sucks, it shouldn't be that way. Well, it's like, well, how true is that? Who made up that rule? I love that line. That line's changed my life a number of times in a number of different situations. Who made up that rule? And so I think that if we can do nothing more other than stop the spinning out of control of our thoughts to at least challenge it, even for a moment, it can bring us to a pause that can hopefully get us out of that situation differently, more efficiently, or better.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. Well, guys, next month we're going to be announcing our next live course and we'll give you
Yes.
all the details, but stay tuned. We already know the dates. It's gonna be it's happening in spring, but
Yep.
we're gonna be giving you all the dates, how you can join, who can join, who can't join. So, we'll see you next week on Wellness and Dentistry, and we hope you have a great week.
Take care.
Bye-bye.